whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Adviston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPAN.
Now, here is Ben Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard.
And Jim Reed.
And Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harry Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as
this is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction. Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Riley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
We're back on WPTF, admiring the Raleigh Christmas Parade. It really looks like a barn burner this year.
Well, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Good weather.
Hillsborough Street just looks so much better than it used to, too. It's hard. It doesn't even look the same. But there's Chargrill. It's still sitting there.
Yeah, our buddy Howard Penny, I think he's there 2 or 3 days a week.
Representative Penny?
Yes.
So I fussed at him.
Good Howard. He came by the office yesterday.
He's a good guy.
By the way, we heard from Joe the bouncer. He wants everybody to know that the Daphne he planted a week ago is still alive.
Oh, good.
And he also, longleaf pine. He said they're both still living.
Nice.
That's good.
Now, I remember that when we went to the mansion the last time, the governor's mansion, we asked
that was about
governor's
5 years
wife,
ago,
and she
I
said
think.
The key was to planting more
ago.
Than one
yeah.
for longleaf pines. I've never got one to
a
live.
Colony.
Maybe yeah. I just planted because I planted one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I didn't have anybody to talk to.
No.
So it needs friends. Yeah. And that's probably not the case for all plants, but yeah, I've heard that before. But yeah, I haven't driven by there in a while to see if those things are on.
Well, there's one. I noticed the other day I was over there.
There's just one?
And just one.
Oh.
But it looked healthy, but I don't know what happened to the other two.
Yeah.
There were three there when we were there.
Yeah. So that's on the Blunt Street side of the mansion.
Right.
Interesting plants. Out there, a lot of it, Gerald.
Well,
planted.
When I go to Pinehurst on Wednesday, we're going to see a lot of
yes, you are.
Pines.
That will be a treat.
And I will visit the Arboretum down there, the Sand Hills Arboretum.
Yeah.
is one of the most fantastic. They have a marvelous collection of comedians.
And they have a good educational program for students there at the community college.
And stop at that Ace Hardware store
that's a big one.
That's the largest Ace Hardware, I believe, in North Carolina.
I'm sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's
right
Pinehurst.
Pinehurst. It's right near the not far from the Arboretum, I don't know.
I mean, it's not in the downtown village area.
Yeah. It is. It's a neat store to go into.
Yeah, it's a huge one. Yeah. I'll see if I can find an address for you.
I saw something the other day. I've forgotten where it was. A 7-Eleven.
Oh, my.
That was absolutely huge. I thought they had sort of died out.
Where was that?
I can't remember right now. But it was just phenomenally big. It was as big as a Walmart.
Man.
A 7-Eleven.
Well, let's see. It's a Provision Ace Hardware, I guess, in Pinehurst. And it's, that says Carthage or Southern Pines. I don't know. I'll have to figure this out. Are you checking on it?
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think of
his name. I've driven by it before. It's near
Randy, what's Randy's last name? He used to be in Bass. Randy, what is Randy's last name?
Yeah, it's just off of Airport Road.
No, that's on the way to the
Sand Hills Horticulture Gardens. I guess it's near there.
Okay.
But it's huge. Phil Campbell talks about going down there.
It is cool.
Yeah. I mean, they got everything, I'm told. I haven't been there.
I thoroughly enjoy it. Neat, neat place.
All right. Well, that's another destination for you, Rufus. You've got to go down to Pinehurst for something besides the Thanksgiving buffet at the Carolinian or Carolina Hotel.
And I always go, they have great decorations on the street
at
Pinehurst, Southern Pines.
Yeah.
Every establishment has some unique Christmas tree out in front, and it's done in something that is directly connected with that particular business, and just beautiful. I go by the bookstore there that's run by Frank Daniels' granddaughter in Southern Pines.
Nice. Let's talk to Michael and Carrie. Michael, good morning. Hello, Michael. I don't know that I...
Hello?
Yes, Michael, how are you? Can you hear us okay?
I'm just fine. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. How can we help you today?
Well, you were speaking about all this wonderful food for Thanksgiving, and you left out the most important item.
Well, the turkey?
The most important item is oysters.
Oh,
now we have mentioned oysters this morning because Rufus went to an oyster roast down in Little Washington last weekend. But so we did work it in. But so you like oyster dressing?
Yes, sir. My mother grew up in Terrell County, down close to the coast.
Oh yeah,
and we always had oyster dressing, and she made her oyster dressing with crackers.
Yeah, my mother made that too, but. Sometimes with the oysters, because they were mainly for my father, but she did, and it was we had chicken. We never had turkey growing up, and it was a souffle. It was the crackers, premium saltine crackers, all crushed up, and the chicken broth in it, and I don't know what else, but it was you put the oysters in that.
Yum.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the tractors I saw.
So that, is a good old Southern staple.
Well, you know, that was my thinking, but there was a couple at my church, and they're from upstate New York, and they said they always had oyster dressing.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised that it was upstate. If it had been on the coast, maybe.
Yeah, like Maine but that's true. But how about that?
Yeah.
But you hear a lot of folks. Well, I'm glad to confirm that somebody else used crackers for their dressing and made kind of a souffle. Did your mother add anything else besides did she use chicken or turkey broth?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
probably chicken broth.
But yeah,
she would add the a few onions. She would add a boiled egg.
Eggs. You got to put mix in the eggs too. I forgot about that.
The boiled eggs and also the celery. You put celery in it.
Got to have that and sage.
Yeah. Well, my mother didn't do all that. She did put the raw eggs in. And the crackers and the chicken broth and mix that all up.
How about sage? Put a little.
No,
sage
she didn't put any of that stuff in there, and it was and it would rise, and you had to be careful about that because it could just like any souffle, it could drop.
Yeah, that's a fancy word, souffle.
That sounds good. So y'all said Terrell. I've heard people say Terrell, but y'all the natives say Terrell, right?
They say Terrell County, yes.
Yeah.
And some people, I live in Cary, and some people say Terrell.
those are not natives. Yeah, definitely.
No.
But, that's a gorgeous part of the state.
Oh, yes, sir. And I still own the property down there. And
well, good for you.
To get away from the traffic in Raleigh and Cary and go down to my house in Terrell County. And I like to write. I just wrote a book.
Oh.
And I like to read, and I like to get out of all this traffic around here.
What's the name of your book?
Well, it's From the Tobacco Field to China.
From the Tobacco Fields to China?
Yes, sir. And because I grew up on a small tobacco farm, and I ended up, I started an import company, and I ended up in the import business. And I traveled to Hong Kong quite a bit, and just a little FYI, there's not a Christmas light made in the United States.
Mm. Huh.
Never has been.
Good gracious.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
So is this book available?
Well, it was privately published with Storyworth, but if anybody would like a copy, the cost is $39. It's expensive because it was privately published.
Right,
but,
yeah.
It took me 3 years, and I would think of things and put it on my telephone and go back and write it. And
that's the way I write a gardening article every week, and they put those online, and that's the way I do it. I use my phone primarily, and iPad some, but it's convenient though when you have a thought you can put it down.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Well, but if anybody would like to read it, I grew up on a tobacco farm in Nash County, and if anybody would like to read it, they can go to storyworth.com, and they can order the book from there.
Storyworth.com?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One word.
Did you say you grew up in Nash County, N-A-S-H?
Yes, sir.
I did, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're from Nashville, I think.
I grew up in Nashville. I sure did. What part of Nash County did you grow up in?
Well, a little town called Red Oak.
I've been to Red Oak a million times, and they used to have the best basketball team in the state, just about.
Yes, sir. We did.
And the teacherage there, and all of that. Some fine people I've met from Red Oak. Yeah, that's just used to seem like a long way off when I was a kid, but so did Rocky Mount, but. It's just
yes,
a hop,
sir.
Skip, and a jump. I drive through there. My wife and I will drive through Nashville and then drive up through Red Oak up to Hickory and get on 95 going to Williamsburg just to drive through the country. Michael, we got to go, but thank you so much for calling.
Well, there's a vignette in my book about the teacherage. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. That's nice. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. Yeah. We're back on WPTF at the Weekend Gardener. You know, if all of us just about have cars and trucks and stuff like that, and if you're like Nelsa and you're on the road almost 24 hours a day, then you've got to maintain that vehicle, don't you, Nelsa?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that includes every aspect of the car, and you don't want to wait for a breakdown. I know that the cars are made well, but they're very sophisticated now, and most people can't work on them. Even if you have that talent, you're not going to have the equipment for it. So you need to rely on a good mechanic, and I'll tell you, the folks at King's Auto Service fit that bill. And it, just like the physical you get, hopefully, every year with your doctor, you wanted to do some preventative maintenance with the folks at King's Auto Service. And you know, whether it's your tires or your brakes or any aspect, you know, the hoses that you in belts that you probably don't pay a lot of attention to, and changing the oil, just basic things like changing the oil on time. Used to be every 3,000 miles. They've extended that a great deal now, which is helpful. But you still have to make sure you do it on time. And that's one of the most all those mechanics we used to have on the weekend mechanic were always stressed that. And you can't drive without brakes and tires. So make sure you're safe, especially with all the traffic we're dealing with. The heater, make sure the heater, all of that stuff's working well now, and your car will run for a long time. And the batteries, those 12-volt batteries, get a real workout now with all the sophisticated electronics. And a lot of people have gone mad about hybrid vehicles, and you should get that hybrid checked out at King's Auto Service in downtown Raleigh, because they have certified hybrid technicians who can diagnose any problem that you might have with a high voltage battery pack, which are pretty reliable. So they've been in use for a long time, not as long as that internal combustion engine. And I suspect at some point Dean Bailey will start. I know he's thinking about it and has researched at the electric vehicles. He may at some point be able to work on those, but he certainly does on the hybrid vehicles. Take them to a specialist. Take your car to some of the finest mechanics around. They are smart. King's Auto Service, 1039 North West Street in downtown Raleigh, and at kingautomotive.net. And they've been in business since 1946, so they're doing something right.
Mm.
1027 WPTF time, our friend Stephen Garner. Hey, Steve.
Just as a heads up, the hybrid is an electric vehicle. So if they're working on hybrids, they work on electric.
Yeah, but not fully electric. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they work on that, they can work on both of them.
Well,
anyway,
they're still not a fully electric vehicle. But there is a difference. There is a difference with it, but they'll. I bet they'll do that at some point. I have a hybrid, and it works very, very well. So you doing all right, buddy?
I am, and Mary got approved for her chemo, so she starts next week.
Well
tell her
our prayers to her.
Well.
Yes,
absolutely.
Indeed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's. It's going to be in pill form, and then they give her one injection for her bone marrow. To strengthen her bone marrow.
Uh-huh.
So that should help with the production of red blood cells. So
yeah.
They're hoping that between the hormone blocker and this next pill, that they'll slow it down anyway. They said they couldn't stop it, so.
Well, the technology is.
It's like my disease. They can't stop it, but I've learned to live with it.
Right. Right. They
hopefully
can.
We'll learn to live with each other again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're certainly praying for y'all.
Yeah. And just a heads up. Next week, I'm going to dig up a red hot poker. So I'll have clumps of red hot poker roots that I can share with people.
Remind us. Just one more. You're in the books.
I'm on the website at the Raleigh Daylily Club in the display garden tab. So if they get in there, my garden is just one more. I'm in Garner. So I'll, they can call, or and I'll call in to next week to remind everybody.
Fantastic. Well,
but I got to make room for moving. I got stuff buried in bushes that I need to get out into the sunlight so they can thrive.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm gonna. The Red Hot Poker has done its thing and it's finished. So
we got to go for the news, Steve.
Get rid of it, make another bed.
Take care, my friend. Thank you.
All right, you guys. I love you guys.
We love you too. Bye bye. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We're back on WPTF at 10:35 with the Weekend Gardener, and I keep seeing your friend, your former SBI agent and longtime sheriff in Alamance County, Terry Johnson, on television there. Keeps popping up every once in a while.
Yes,
he's with you for a long time.
He was with me for a long time as SBI agent, and they sent him up to the end of the world and Graham County, and I brought him back to Alamance, and he's been sheriff ever since.
How about that?
He's a real law enforcement officer, controversial, but a very honest, decent man. Proud of him, proud that he worked with me.
Well, politics is like that. I mean, there's always some controversy. So,
by the way, I want to know, Nelson, have you ever had any time when the comedians were any more beautiful?
No,
Something just happened that made them the most beautiful this year, and of course my Yuletides have been at their peak.
I attribute it to a cooler June and lots of rainfall when the buds were really setting and forming,
and everything in the spring was pretty too.
Yeah. But it has been a stellar year for
anything
for
that blooms.
Yeah, now, there's some gorgeous ones, and there's some showmanship ones at Oak Island. I mean, you think like, oh my gosh, they're in full bloom, but you wait, they'll keep showing their colors.
Yeah, that's amazing. If you don't have camellias in your yard, you're really missing out.
You've got to have them.
Very little disease. Pruning, if you've got them in the right place, you never prune one.
That is correct.
And by the way, I have several fatsias.
Yeah.
That's the most amazing plant.
Oh, I love those little.
It is
they
now,
look like little COVID balls. But
yeah, I call it the COVID ball.
Yeah, but they're arborscandins, and the pollinators just really flock to them.
I had
one young lady, also from Fuquay, Jane McLaurin, and she's like, Miss Nelson, I am not working on that side. I've got an EpiPen that I am not working over there today. It's always in the fall.
I get two blooms a year,
But they're stunning. It just makes that plant pop. And that's a tough plant.
It looks like, in the middle of the winter, it looks like a tropical.
It
is beautiful.
I have some now. I lost the first one to a vole.
Oh, no.
I remember Tony Avett. I told Tony Avett about it, and he said, well, that was a gourmet vole, I guess, because it really had a great meal with those roots. But it is it looks like a house plant. It looks like a tropical house plant to some extent. I don't know what you would what plant does it look like that we would have in the house?
I mean, I think it looks tropical for sure.
So everybody needs one of those, and they can get real. Rufus has some really big ones.
They can get monsters, and there's some pretty variegated ones.
Oh, they're variegated ones.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah,
I haven't seen those.
No, I don't
several.
Have one.
Now they supposedly like the shade, but that's not necessarily true, is it?
I would say that hot late afternoon sun could probably burn a little bit of the foliage, but maybe if it were under irrigation, it can handle it, but I've seen the foliage burn. But
well, my largest one is right in the middle of sun.
Well, there's some out on the golf course I play at, and they pretty much get full sun, but they're amazing. I just think a little bit of reprieve from that hot afternoon sun is good.
And there are a lot of plants that will not take that hot afternoon sun, at least in the South.
Right.
So
right.
Be careful with that. But there are a lot. I think this has been, we've said it all year, this has been most extraordinary year for blooms. The best I can remember.
Good fall color. And
yeah. And I didn't think we were going to get the good fall color, but it seemed to have just popped up all of a sudden. And I don't know if...
probably because it was so hot and dry at first.
Yeah.
Like the nights weren't as cool.
Yeah.
But we did have that nice August weather, so, yeah.
Sure that helped.
You were talking about planting a row of blackberries.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with all those blackberries? Can them?
So you got her a little stand out there.
I know.
And Julian.
So this is a Barbara project, but she loves to pick, you know, small fruit, blueberries, blackberries, and she wants to finish out this row. So I had set some posts this past February and said, well, we'll wait till fall. So I was going to do it this week, but I was like, Mom, it's too dry. I'm not going to do it. So
you string them up?
Yeah.
You were talking back to your mother?
No, I was just saying that need to wait for good success.
So that's blackberry patches where you used to get the red bugs.
Yes, chiggers.
Chiggers.
Chiggers. Yeah, oh yeah. They find you in real special places.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I'll do a row of about 25. That'll finish off the second row. And because I think the first row's close to 150 feet. That's a pretty good one. Road.
Good,
but
gracious.
We freeze them to answer your question. We don't can them.
Yeah.
She used to do jelly and stuff, but we pick them, we share them, we give them away, we share them, we make cobblers. But
I wish I had a cobbler right now.
Pick them and lay them out on a pan
and some ice cream
in the freezer, and then after they freeze a little bit, we'll put them into a Ziploc bag and then suck the air out of it and freeze them. They just stack on top of each other. That's the best way we found, because if you pick them and just try to freeze them immediately, they all clump up.
Yeah.
So, don't want any clumping up.
No clumping.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, we're just racing through this show. We only have less than 20 minutes left. And The Weekend Gardener here on WPTF. It's 10:41. Back on WPTF at 10:45, 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. And let's see, we got Nelsa here. And Nelsa's coming back next week. She just wants to come back.
Isn't that good for us?
Well, I mean, this is the center spot.
I got to see my buddy Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, that's later.
That's coming up. That's
December
6th. I got to see
my buddy Mike and Rufus.
Yeah.
So
this is kind of in between Oak Island and Greensboro.
Mm-hmm.
So we're the pit stop. So she's going to stop here twice.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. That you're going to be on. I appreciate that very, very much, because you're so knowledgeable about things, and you know all the Latin words, and you're a great plant identifier. That's one of the hardest things, the Nurserymen Association, their plant identification tests. You passed that with flying colors, didn't you?
I did.
Did y'all have to do that in school, horticulture folks?
We did. I took two semesters of plant ID. And
who taught that?
Dr. Paul Fonts.
Huh.
He sure did. A cute little man.
How about that?
Oh my gosh, he was a hoot. And then I took at the time it was called the Certified Plantsman, the North Carolina Certified Plantsman exam. I think that's what it was called. And then that changed, I think late 80s, early 90s, to Certified Plants Professional.
So who takes that? Who is required to take that?
Well, no one's required to take it. I think it's just, another professional skill to certify that, you know your woody plants very well and herbaceous and you know, put you up there where you kind of know pretty much it gives you the training skill to identify pretty much many, many plants throughout the United States. Even if you don't know that particular oak, you can get it down to the fact that, hey, sort of like your maple, like I should have studied it more, let it get a little more mature, where like, oh, okay, I have enough, you know, you know the inner nodes and the buds and all that. So you can get it down to usually the family or the genus, maybe even the species. But
yeah. Well, Rufus knows the Latin.
Well, I know.
Weenie Wady Wiki.
Quim Quam.
Weenie Wady Wiki. And the best Latin phrase in the world is res ipsa loquitur.
Res
ipsa loquitur. That means the thing speaks for itself.
It was right on the tip of my tongue.
You dummy. The thing speaks for itself.
I've been called dummy a lot.
No, I'm not calling you a
dummy.
No,
that's all right. That's okay. I'll accept that from you.
No.
Larry wouldn't dare call us a doofus or anything, would he? Larry?
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. You doing all right this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, we're fine.
Look, I know you're short on time, but I missed JC's last call and joke to the show. I was just curious if I could beg your indulgence to play that again so I could get to hear
it. All right. We'll do that here. You can hang on, or you want to listen on the radio, or what do you want to do?
Just listen on the radio. I'm in the car.
Okay. Larry, thank you so much. And Joel has that queued up, and we're going to play that.
All right, very good. Y'all have a wonderful
Thank you.
Day.
Thank you, Larry.
All right, bye. Yeah,
bye.
This was from sometime in the last several weeks. Wasn't, maybe 3 weeks?
I think before, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so.
Before his passing.
Yeah, it was before his passing, but it was several weeks ago that he called us, and it was the last time that he called us, and he always gave us a little joke. So, Joel, let us hear that from J.C. Knowles.
Absolutely. We're so proud of you.
And we sure are. You've done
well,
so much.
Well, thank you. I love all of y'all. I really
do.
We
love you, too.
And let me tell you my little joke.
Yeah, okay. Please do.
This couple was getting on up in years, and the wife had always told him before she died she wanted to go to the Holy Land, but he wouldn't take her. And she nagged him for years and years. Finally, he got fed up with her and said, okay, I'll take you. And they went over to Jerusalem. And on the third day they were touring Jerusalem, she got sick and died.
Oh.
And the undertaker told the husband, said, well, we can ship her body back to the States, but it'll cost $10,000. Or you can bury her here in Jerusalem. And it's only $500. He said, no, send her back to the States. And the other thing said, why in the world you want to waste so much money when you can bury her right here? He said, no, I know the story. Y'all buried a man here 2,000 years ago, and he came back, and I ain't taking no chances.
Oh, JC.
Amen. JC.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, buddy.
That's a new frontier, man.
That's a great one.
All right. Well, I love y'all.
I love you too, buddy.
Love you too.
Okay, thank you so much, JC.
Oh, we love the memory of that. That was J.C. Knowles just a few weeks before he passed away, and at the age of 97, I believe it was.
97.
Now buried in Oakwood Cemetery.
Yes.
A historic place. We have a few Quaverina person, Farmer John.
Farmer John. Now.
Hey, Farmer John, how you doing?
Oh, Farmer John, it's not your lucky day, buddy.
Hey,
I know your real name.
That's all right. We don't give away that. That's
Dr. Bob
secret.
Johnson's buddy right there.
Everybody's Dr. Right. Bob Johnson's buddy.
And we also have a connection there with Tony Rigsby. We covered that last time I called, but we won't go back into that again unless they want me to. But Nelson, thank you for, first of all, I want to give you a report from Fuquay Marina where, you know, everything is a dash more here.
That's right.
That's right. A lot of people won't understand that. But you know, Nelson. So anyway, Farmers John's report. We had a pretty good garden this summer. Got a number of tomatoes and didn't do too well on the butter beans and the string beans. In fact, I didn't have a one, but Phil kind of explained why that probably occurred. And so overall, I was pretty happy with the garden this summer. But look, you brought up these blackberries.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk about these blackberries because I got, you know, I'm down here and I've got, you know, it's a small lot, but in the back, it's wall to wall. I got retention pond behind me. I've got woods behind it. It's wall to wall sunshine. And right. So I'm just growing stuff like crazy. And I've got some spaces along my fence line that need filling in. And I told my wife some time back, you know, maybe we should try a couple of blackberry plants down there. So my questions are simply this. How big do they get? I wouldn't really want them to get more than about 4 or 5 feet tall. Is that feasible? Number two, this soil that we've got down here, and you kind of know, I think, what the property is, because you know the person we bought it from, or the developer bought it from. It's not very good soil. I mean, will they be all right? It's obviously going to be too big to put in a pot. But you think that soil will be okay? It's, you know, pretty yucky.
I would get some Daddy Pete's kicking chicken to mix into the planting hole. And mix it with that soil. But and as far as the height goes, the 4 foot height, you know, and again, I would go after like a thornless variety. They're going to form like long kind of leads. So you almost need to put a post up versus trying to have it be like a forsythia, all bushy formed and draping, weeping over. So you really need to have it going upright on something and then a lead for it, you know, to train down. That's how we've got two leads on ours. That's the way we do it. And then I'll prune them back, you know, about once a year where I'll cut anything that's grown out in width and not staying within that linear frame, and then a few branches off of that. But it's pretty easy to do. It's not a lot of maintenance. It's not tedious like blueberries or other shrubs because you're dealing with like a long branch. It's like, oh, I'm just going to prune that back and it'll form new growth. So it's not too hard, but they'll do extremely well and be extremely fruitful for you.
Yeah. So if I put two or three in, that would probably be worth my effort.
Absolutely.
To do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't need it. I think you said your rows were 150 feet. Well, my lot's not but 50 feet wide. So,
yeah,
you know.
So I would do probably just set three posts in the ground, and you can just let them, or you could do four posts, but just, you know, space them about 8 feet apart.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm using T-posts to help with my tomatoes and space them up and so forth. So that's all, you know, so I know what you're talking about.
Did Bob tell you about him, my eye exam, and him telling me about Farmer John?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
He reminds me about that every time.
All right. He's probably listening.
Dr. Bob's doing research on that third eye.
The one right in the middle.
Yeah.
The cyclops.
Well, he is a great fella. The last time I called in as Farmer John, I escaped being fined at the Rotary Club because for some reason he wasn't listening that Saturday morning. And so so the next Tuesday or Thursday, you know, I didn't have to get paid Dr. Bob's fine for impersonating a farmer.
A truth and a lie, right.
Well, that's the first standard of the Rotary four-way test. Is it the truth? I'm a truth seeker, and I try to tell the truth, but I'm also a bit of a, you know, storyteller, embellisher, too, along the way, because that makes it fun, right, Rufus?
Amen.
Everybody needs a disguise.
Well, you know what Farmer Bob, you know what Mark Twain said about the truth, don't you? He said, the truth is precious, use it sparingly.
Well, that's exactly right, you know, and you don't have to necessarily tell everything you know, but tell it in a way that might be entertaining, right, Rufus?
Amen.
That's what I try to do, and I've got you to emulate, see? So there we go. So, listen, I know you're about out of time. Let me hop and let y'all wrap up.
Well, be a dash more today.
Well, I'm going to try to be in Dashmore. We're trying to Christmas decorate today, too.
Yeah, behave in those rotary clubs.
I tell you, the older you get, the harder this Christmas decorating gets, too.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Thanks anyway, for calling.
All right, y'all take care.
You take care, Farmer John.
Thank you. Okay.
The Pepper King Danger Boy, Jimmy Lloyd, says, Esse quam verdere, Rufus.
To be rather than to seem.
Yeah, that's what this show is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the real thing.
True worth is in being, not seeming, in doing each day that goes by some little good, not in dreaming of great things to do by and by.
Yeah, by and by. That's a good Southern term, is by and by.
Yeah.
By and by.
In the sweet by and by. On that beautiful shore.
Do you want to sing? Is anything you wanted to sing taking us off?
Well, not really. Okay. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Yeah. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Telling you, sharp as a tack.
That's a great way to end the show. We'll have to dig up your song that you recorded with Charlie Albertson.
Oh yes,
Senator Albertson.
Honky Tonk Angel.
We'll have to dig that up and let you sing away. So, Miss Nelsa, you're heading to the beach right now.
Yep.
And you're gonna fish tomorrow?
Well, I'm gonna do the parade or the garden lights at Johnson Nursery tonight in Willard,
right.
And then yes, I may
which
fish,
is near
may,
Wallace.
Near Wallace.
Yeah.
Next door. And yeah, I think I might do a little fishing tomorrow.
Y'all gonna sleep down there in Willard? Or are y'all going to drive to?
We'll drive hither and thither.
You going to plant anything?
I might.
Have you got everything planted?
I hope they'll have some stuff open where I can buy some plants, but it may just be s'mores and hot chocolate. We'll see.
S'mores and hot chocolate.
You are making a heritage farm out there. Not only at the beach, but at the farm. That's a heritage farm that I hope will be there forever.
I do, too.
It will. I'm working on setting it up.
Yeah.
So,
preservation, land preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do our house, goes to preservation, North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Colin says we ain't got any more time, so we're...
That's okay. Go pack.
We can't do anything about the time, Colin. You're just doing your job. That's right. Joel just ran out of the building screaming after dealing with 3 hours of this. But we'll be back next week regardless. Nelson will be with Brother Rufus and me, and God love you, and we'll see you next week on The Weekend Gardener.